Hello, and welcome to a special episode of Tales from the Grey Library. I am Mark, the producer and host of this episode, and today I am joined by four familiar faces to the Grey Library. Would everybody like to introduce themselves?
Hi, I'm Zach. I've guest GM'd an episode, a season of Tales from the Grey Library, and I'm Tales of the Outer Rim podcast.
Hi, I'm Erica Goodwitch, everyone's favorite mercenary. I am supposed to have GM'd a Tales of the Grey Library. It's still in process. And you can find me on Coruscant Nights, Dicey Cantina, Here's the Hiding Way, and the other place sometime.
Yeah.
Soon.
I am SJ. You can find me. I've never been on Tales of the Grey Library. But you can find me on the other place, Coruscant Nights, Tubular Teens with Titans, and Behind the Mask.
I'm AJ Kimball. You can find me on most things Coruscant Nights related or Nightcast related and Friends. I'm around. I'm always around. Play Roberto in Season 2.
And today we are playing Creepy Crawls, a mini game that I wrote. It is currently part of the Trans Rights in Florida bundle. So if you haven't gotten that yet, you just pay $5, support a good cause, and get like $2,000 worth of games. Yeah. All right. Let's very quickly go around and say who we're playing.
I'll be playing David the Raccoon. Very inquisitive, loves ghosts and tales of ghosts, so... collecting stories and traveling is my game.
I'm Junior Ossuarian Adelie. I'm a helbling, and I am on a sabbatical at the moment because I might have lost my old job.
Hi, I'm Ren. I'm really excited to be here. I'm Grottenfolk, and I really love ghosts, and I have done a lot of research on this, and I'm just really excited. I'm kind of really into true crime.
Say true crime.
True crime.
I love it. Hello, I am Roberto Canejo III. You may have heard of me. I hope you have. I've been around. I play bars. I like ghost stories and things of that nature. And no, I've never been to Gilder.
And I am Torin, head librarian for the Grey Library, and I've been to Point before, but I don't know any of its lore, so I was hoping that the four of you could tell me a couple stories as we walk through town.
Can't wait. Oh, there's so many stories. Every corner of this place is riddled with something that's happened.
Oh my gosh, you would not believe how much murder has happened here.
I would, actually. I would believe that.
Okay, good.
I think we have a couple of artifacts back at the repository from here.
Can't imagine there wouldn't be. This place is chock full of spooky.
So haunted.
Chock full spooky. So in Creepy Crawls, we don't normally have a GM. I am going to be acting as the person who is holding the rules, and my four companions are going to be telling ghost stories about our city of Point. So which of the four of you has most recently had a supernatural experience?
I went on a ghost tour in January.
That's recent. Can anybody beat that?
No, I was in an asylum like years ago. Not committed. It was an abandoned asylum in close to my hometown that we explored. That was a decade ago.
I mean, I live in a city that's 485 years old and has lots of hauntings.
Yeah, it's pretty haunted. But I think going on a ghost tour in January wins this one. So Ren is going to be our first tour guide.
Oh boy.
So I would like Ren, I would like you, SJ, to pick the location that we're starting and mark it on our map.
We're going to start at a bridge.
Okay. So we're starting on this bridge in the center. So this is East Run, and it has old memorials. You want to describe what this place and Point looks like?
Oh my goodness, yes. This has so many old memorials because So many people died here. It's an older part of the city, and all of the memorials are kind of covered in moss because we're by the river and it's damp and there's a lot of humidity. And people don't really come here very much anymore, but they don't come here enough that there's also no graffiti, which is nice. And it's really sad to me because all the ghosts are lonely.
It smells pretty salty here.
It is very salty, and you can feel it on your skin, and just a lot of statues, and they all look so lonely.
We're on a bridge, and there's a lot of statues and memorials on this bridge.
I think it's one of those sorts of bridges that has, like, houses built on either side of it.
Yes.
Like in the old days.
Memorial posts along the yeah. walk.
There's, like,
little figurines.
And then yeah. statues, and then like little tiny altars. It's really nice. Wish people would come here more because the ghosts are so lonely.
Everybody's going to draw one card from their deck of spades.
Oh my god, which one is my spade? Two.
It happened in the middle of an epidemic.
Ooh. Three.
Sightings of a smiling man.
God.
Eight.
The ghost makes a digging sound.
Three.
The building is abandoned. Now it's Ren's job to use those to tell us a story. It happened in the middle of an epidemic. Sightings of a smiling man. People hear digging sounds from an abandoned building.
So, you all know that there was a plague here not that long ago, right? I mean, we're getting over it now. And during that plague, 25% of the population died. It was crazy. But you know, there was one person who didn't die from the plague, but they died anyway. So there is this lovely young human lady who used to carry flowers during the plague to help cheer everyone up. And there was one house that she would always stop at. Nobody was there, but she always left flowers, and then the flowers disappeared. Well, she was going about her route one day, and then, in the doorway, she thought she saw this smiling man. But it couldn't be, because no one was there. I mean, family had died early on during the plague. So then she went on. And the next day she came back, and in another window, she saw the smiling man. But it was just out of the corner of her eye. She went on. The third day she comes back, and she thinks she sees the smiling man in the doorway. So she puts the flower down, and she goes, and she hides behind that merchant cart over there. And she waits, and she watches, and she sees this hand come out and draw the flower back. So she knows that there must be somebody there. They need some help. So she waits, and she waits, and she sneaks quietly over the door, and she peeks in. And inside, it's just a regular house. It looks like people live there. So she knows that somebody must need help. When she walks in, she hears a scraping. It's coming from the other room. Somebody must need some help. So she tiptoes over to the other room, and she looks around. And it's a kitchen. And again, she hears, and thinking that it must be the smiling man, she goes to the corner in the kitchen. There's a cupboard, and again. So she opens the cupboard door and looks down. And what does she see? She sees stairs leading down and a flash of something, like a smile. So she creeps down the stairs. And the noise comes again. She makes it down the stairs, and then boom! The door shuts. She was never seen again. But sometimes when you go by the house, there's a flower and a flash of a smiling man scratching. And we all look over and there's a flower.
Now that was a good bit of folklore, but if nobody ever saw her again, how do people know the story?
Well, I mean, like, this is a small town, right? People talk.
Okay.
And, like, I know I come from, you know, the Kanara, and we're always on the move, but how come that cart's not moving? That's the same cart for the whole pandemic?
Of course. Because they're the merchant stalls. I mean, like...
I don't know. It's folklore. There's a little wiggle room. I'll just write this down. You know, I'm collecting stories, both true and false, so...
I mean, okay. You can go
now on. Whenever I encounter a cat and I hear that scratching, I'm never going to think the same thing again. This is terrifying.
I just wanted to say, like, that seems like, a class 2, Thorin, with the illusion and the ability to snatch and grab? I think that's a class 2, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. And the group of us continue on. It is evening, and we head... Which way do we head, David? You're our new next tour guide.
Ooh, okay.
We pick our next spot and try and draw a line.
I think we'll travel up the banks and then across to this herald, this horn. I'm assuming there's like a statue or something there.
The Isian mail. So there's a delivery service building there.
Okay.
And everybody's going to draw another card from the spades. And we're going to start.
Again?
Yep.
Okay.
Start with David.
8.
8. Adelie.
2.
2. Roberto.
7.
7. Ren.
Ace.
Oh.
All right. David's story started in the dead of winter. Sightings of a lonely woman. The ghost hasn't been seen in a few years, and the building is still owned by the same family.
So this happened, let's say, I think it was about 7-8 years ago.
All right, 7 or 8 years.
There was a woman who would constantly come to the Isian mail, waiting for a delivery from who knows who. But she came every day. She was here all the time. You could always see her passing by, stopping at the Isian mail, and maybe she'd hang for a while or she'd leave, but she'd always come back. She'd come like 3 or 4 times a day. Like, you could set your clock by it, set your watch by it. And one winter, it was the coldest winter we've had in decades, and they found her frozen in one of the alleys as she was heading to the Isian mail. And for the longest time, if you ever came at those were about 3 times during the day, you could see a glimpse of the ghost wandering the alleys, moving towards the Isian mail. For some reason, about, I don't know, maybe a year ago, it stopped, and nobody's seen it ever since. But the same families lived here on the corner, and it coincided with the birth of their youngest son. And ever since then, the ghost, we haven't seen the ghost wander at all. But it was so spooky, because you'd be walking the street and thinking you're walking next to someone, and then poof, they're gone. And you're like, oh. It was terrifying. But at the same time, it was really comforting, because she wasn't malicious. It was just a wandering spirit. But yeah, it was... Ever since the little one was born at the corner house here, for some reason we haven't seen her wandering since. Some say that she may inhabit the body of the child. It's spooky, but at the same time, you know, it's not so bad. She's not like harming anybody, hopefully.
Sounds like she causes dogs to bark.
Well, I mean, a lot of animals react to spirits, so it wouldn't surprise me. I wonder if any of the dogs in town will start barking at this child once he grows up and starts wandering around.
Ooh, we should test that.
How are we supposed to test that?
Well, you get a dog, and you walk by the child, or you walk the child by a dog.
So we're going to kidnap a random child.
Well, no, we'll just start walking random dogs around the house.
We could have a dog walking business. It would be super fun.
You four can start your dog walking business. But I think Kaelin will be interested in hearing this spirit in a baby theory.
You could make money and test a theory.
Yeah, I like that. It's science.
Where are we going next, Adelie? Probably not too far. We are walking, after all. This is a decent-sized city. We just walked like a half a mile.
We're going to have to get some refreshments.
Oh, this is where we're going. Going to the little copse of trees. Right here. Those two trees.
All right. Adelie is drawing the first card. We're still in spades.
Still in spades. Four.
Four. Roberto.
Eight.
Ren.
Jack.
And David.
Five.
Five. It happened. About 100 years ago, there are sightings of a large black dog. The ghost, it's a very hairy dog. It has long, shaggy hair. And the building it's spotted at is now a brewery.
Perfect.
The Black Dog Brewery. I would like to go there, please.
Right.
So about 100 years ago, a large, shaggy black dog was seen.
Some sort of phantom dog.
And now that house is a brewery.
I see trees there. Is that like a tiny corner park or something?
Yeah, there's like two little trees there, which is what drew me over here.
Yeah, there's some trees in the middle of a square. Yeah,
right across the way from the trees, but we're going to stand under the trees because it's more atmospheric.
Yeah. So we're looking at this brewery. I think the brewery may have some seating outside. It can be a warmer month, and we can hear the people enjoying their time at the brewery, not thinking about this horror story of what was once here.
Here in the neighborhood of East Run, there once was a wealthy man. He had a very nice home. In fact, it's that building over there. Now, this wealthy man was wealthy because he was kind of a miser. He was very unfriendly to his neighbors. He always thought someone was out to get something from him. And when it came time that the last of his family was passing on, all she asked of him was if he could care for her dog. The miser, who lived in a very nice home filled with very nice things and didn't want dog hair or dog slobber or a rambunctious thing bustling around his home, possibly destroying his very nice things, told his sister yes, so that he would not cause her trouble in her final days. But when it came time to take the dog into his home, he instead took the beast to the far side of the city and left it lashed to a tree. Much like these trees we're standing between now. A massive storm shook the shores of Point that night, and the miser sat in his bed with not a care in the world, for he had a good roof and warm sheets. And if he had a single thought for the dog, he did not record it. It does not live today. Weeks passed, and one day as the miser is leaving his home, he sees something in the shadow of these two trees, a big, shaggy black dog lashed to the tree, staring, thinking that he must have misseen something. He continues on his way, and when he comes back that evening, the dog is not there. This goes on for about a month. Every so often, from the corner of his eye, he sees the dog between these trees, and he grows more and more anxious and worried and paranoid. He thinks maybe somebody is watching him, staking out his home to steal his nice things. He comes over to the trees sometimes to see if there is evidence of the big black dog. He sees nothing. He asks the neighbor, who is very surprised that he's talked to him, if she sees the big black dog. And she just looks at him like he's grown a second head. He grows sick and weak, and he sees the dog more and more often. The sicker he gets, the more he sees it. Until finally he is on his deathbed. He's had to spend all of his money in pursuit of his health. His home is bare. It's all he has left. And now he sees the dog all the time. The man passed away, He had no one to leave anything to. He had nothing to leave. And then, as much the way was the way of things, a business bought this building instead, and they had great success. And sometimes, people say, if you are unkind, ungenerous, you might just see a shaggy black dog in these trees watching you.
I must say, sorry. That is a great way to sell more beer, because if you were to be like, just one beer, please, the patron be like, oh, be careful of the black dog. You should buy one for someone else, or the black dog's going to get you. Well, then you start buying rounds of beers. That makes good sense. I like this story. It's a good story.
Better prevents a lot of dying and ditching, too, because, wow. That explains why I see people staring at the trees walking by so quickly sometimes, I suppose. I've never seen the dog. That would, oh, my God.
They really did name the brewery aptly.
Maybe we should stop for a drink on the before we continue the journey.
I'll buy you
a round. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, we got time. The night is young. Thank you for listening to this episode of Tales from the Grey Library. Thank you to SJ, Erica, AJ, and Zach for playing on these episodes. Be sure to check the show notes for links to all their projects. Creepy Crawls can be found at nightcastcreative.itch.io. Tales from the Grey Library was produced by Nightcast Creative. For more about us and the things that we make, visit nightcastcreative.com.